Shalom, אנחנו בשיעור בנושא.
Hello. We're going to be reading chosen excerpts on the topic of faith above reason. You can ask questions live during the lesson.
Again, a
lesson on the topic of work and faith above reason.
This is the meaning that the force of bestowal is more important and is above the force of reception. That is to say, all of our calculations are within the will to receive that is growing with each passing moment and inviting us to build above it the force of bestowal. And this way, he who is greater than his friend, his desire is greater. And because his desire is greater, he can be greater in bestowal. And that's how we grow. So we don't cancel the will to receive, but specifically by it, we build above it the will to bestow. This is called faith above reason. We need to feel that we're united in that, all of our world clay. And to see how we disconnect and rise higher above humanity and our values, our calculations, everything we are in the spiritual sense, to feel this ascension from day to day is something we have to try and work on. That this will be so in the connection between us and also in the moving upwards. Let's go to excerpt number 20.
Yeah, excerpt number 20. Rabash, Jacob dwelt in the land where his father had lived. Excerpt number 20. A person should work only for the Creator, meaning without any reward. This means that he is ready for complete devotion without any reward, without any return being born out of his devotion. Rather, this is the core, his purpose, that he wants to annul his self before the Creator, meaning his will to receive, which is the existence of the Creator. That is what he wants to annul before the Creator. It follows that this is his goal, meaning his goal is to give his soul to the Creator.
No can Rabash. Here,
Rabash is playing with a few definitions in order to show us what it's written about. A soul, a complete devotion, the will to receive, annulling his being, and so on. Questions? I don't think there are any. Yeah?
It says here, to annul the will to receive, as opposed to where we say to be above or
to revoke the will to receive from use. You can't really cancel anything that is in nature. You can simply ascribe a certain kind of importance to it. That's what's in your hands, in your choice. Next.
Excerpt number 21. Zohar Lam. Happy is he who diminishes himself in this world. He is great and superior in the eternal world. One who is small in this world is great in the eternal world, and one who is great in this world is small in the eternal world. The Creator augments only one who diminishes himself and diminishes only one who magnifies himself. Happy is one who diminishes himself in this world, how great is he in the eternal world.
Yeah.
there's the will to receive that what happens to it is called this world. There's the will to bestow, which is the degree of Binah, that no matter what happens on the degree of Binah or in the will to bestow is called the next world or the spiritual upper world. And in between these two desires, we build our reality. And so whoever is small, whoever is great, is examined, measured, exists between these two desires. The closer he is to the degree of Binah, meaning the further he is from the Malchut, that's called being higher. Any questions, please? No. Okay, let's go. Excerpt number 22. Rabash, what is an opinional, what is an optional war in the work? A person should work on having a desire and yearning to want to annul his authority. As our sages said about the verse, if a man dies in a tent, since the Torah exists only in one who puts himself to death over it. This means that he wants to annul his self, meaning he must achieve a state where he has but one authority, the authority of the Creator. In other words, a person does not do anything for his own benefit, but sees only to the benefit of the Creator. This is called singular authority, and it is called optional war. In other words, he is fighting against himself to obtain the singular authority, and this is called optional war in the work.
This war is never ending. It's constant, it continues always. A person has to check himself who is in control inside of him, either the will to receive or the will to bestow. And he constantly has to arrange the relationship between them so that the will to bestow will rule over the will to receive. This is the meaning of having the Creator rule over the creature in him. And in this way, he should see his work. Until, as it's written, a person dies in a tent, meaning he brings himself to the final correction of the will to receive, when it stops speaking in him in order to receive, and it begins to work in him in order to bestow. Questions?
What is this examination of who rules? Suppose
neither me or the ten. I think we talked about it quite a lot, but we'll remind it. And how can I check who's in control over me? You can go out in the street. Are you bestowing? Sure. Are you devoted to the society, to the country? Of course, of course. Turn on the TV. There, everyone is speaking in this way. There's no doubt about it, seemingly. How can we check if this is yes or no? Only according to the ten. There's no other test. You can argue infinitely over it. Rather, only if we are in the ten, there the test is perfect on the spot and it's clear to everyone. As much as you are devoted to this structure called a ten, that is thinking only about that and investing only in that and caring only about that, and this is the only thing you are developing, you are growing, it's like your baby, and other than that, there's nothing. As it says, the eyes of the world are gazing upon it, because it's the Shekhinah, divinity. If you're drawn to that, you're on the right path. If not, you are as an animal wandering the field.
Is it the same examination of whether I'm drawn to the ten and the will to receive and the will to bestow? Is it the same?
Yes, look, it's all checked according to the inclusion, intermingling in the ten. There are all the discernments. What we will learn from now until the end of correction, from the moment we started with the center of the ten, everything's only going to go deeper and deeper towards the center.
If in the examination I see that I'm drawn to the will to receive, what do I do?
You know what to do. You need strength, the forces that will aim you properly towards the ten. That the importance of this structure, this connection, will be greater than you by yourself. You yourself is not considered in spirituality, only in corporeality. And spirituality starts from the ten being as one, and then more and more of ten as one, but each one in the ten becomes the owner of a great egoistic will to receive, and he rises up above himself for the sake of the connection of ten as one, and that's how you advance. This is our work. There's nothing more than that.
What makes a person more devoted to the structure of the ten?
Importance. And this is something we have to talk about. The importance is given to society. This is the work of Aravut, as we say. When a person understands that he cannot do it alone, if the friends in the society will not influence him, greatness, importance, specifically from within the ten and everyone, then he will not be impressed enough to decide that he needs to rise above his will to receive. Okay. Amnon. Threw you out to the edge of the world.
Rav, it says that a person should work so that he'll get the desire and the yearning, and I don't know so many people that want to work and put their will to receive to death.
Yeah, but you need to make sure you have a desire, a yearning. Without it, there's no person. We don't evaluate a person according to how much he weighs, meat he has. If there's no desire, there's no person. If there is a desire, there is a person. So each one has to make sure he's got excitement, attraction, upliftment, awakening, greatness. This depends on how much he subjugates himself to the society. He cannot receive it from himself. As much as he reads and... No. Only to the extent that he annuls himself to the friends and see them as great, although they might be very small in the eyes of everyone else. But if he lowers himself, they become great and they become a source of spiritual influence on him. It all depends on a person. The Creator brought you to the ten, to a certain state, that's it. Everything else depends on you. As much as you can simply lower yourself.
I agree, I only don't see where does a person take the desire and the yearning to have the ability to put himself to death in the
you
tent of Torah.
Start from corporeal actions. Corporeal actions. You organize, you serve them, you do something. All in corporeality. Also, you must talk about it in the ten. Talk about the greatness of the ten. What is that greatness? Let's say you are buying a special TV set in which you can see the Creator. Huh? We are ready to buy it?
Gladly.
Gladly. Okay, so you have that desire. So,
because I benefit as a result, but putting myself to death over the Torah, what do I get as a result?
No. We're not talking about that. Why are you interpreting our method in this way? You have to kill your will to receive, put it to death. The Torah exists inside the will to bestow that you arrange in place of your will to receive. Your will to receive that works in order to bestow is called the will to bestow in a person, and in it the Torah exists, meaning it becomes the reforming light towards what is revealed inside the corrected desire. The form of the Creator, the picture of the Creator.
And I take this desire only from society?
Yeah. All of our spiritual actions come to us from above through the ten, and from us they rise up through the ten. The ten is the radio in all that goes in all directions. Okay?
So, you actually have to work in parallel, meaning all the time making an effort to increase the desire to bestow above the desire to receive, and in parallel to generate a situation where the ten is your supply packet.
It's the same, whatever you say. All the work that we've talked about, in general, all the work are the same. To concentrate the society, assemble it, get integrated in it, surrender towards the subject myself to it, and through the friends, influence their unity, and through it bestow to the Creator. It's all the same work. You can talk about it as much as you want, but it's the same thing. Okay? Good. Let's go.
Excerpt number 23. Rabash, what is the cup of blessing, should be full in the work. When one can walk with his eyes shut above reason and believe in the wisdom of the sages and advance to the end, this is called gestation, because one has no mouth. Gestation is the state of malchut, which is the smallest and most restricted, and is called ibur, from the words transgression and judgment. As implied in the words, the Creator judged me for your sake. And the matter of transgression and judgment, din, should be explained, because one has to walk with his eyes shut above reason. The body opposes it, and for that reason, one must continuously overcome it. And this is called transgression, wrath, and trouble. Because it is hard to work to always walk in a state of annulment before the upper, and let the upper do whatever he wills with him. And this is called ibul, gestation, which is the smallest possible restriction.
Even here we see that all the work is against the will to receive, in order to receive, to rise above him, to connection, and in order to bestow can be expressed only in connection. It's not simply detached intention, abstract. They have to live up, put to work on the ground. And according to our ability to imagine ourselves connected above the rejections, this is called above the judgments, the anger. And then you build in the resistance, the screen, and all the work. That's how the work goes. We begin to understand this is how the soul is built inside the will to receive, that is pushing us back towards the personal, and above it we have to push ourselves back towards connection, towards being incorporated in the ten, bowing down before our friends, towards the connection between us, where each one of us becomes nothing, a zero, more successful in reaching spirituality. And until we become zeros, and then the Creator takes us as a drop of semen and reveals to us the first revelation called the womb. And then we're included there, we're adhered there, so constantly work in annulment. The whole ten is one drop, adhere to the upper one, more and more. And the more we annul towards one another, all of us together, in total, we annul ourselves towards the upper one until we become as a drop of semen in him and begin to develop. And then we enter the entire process. Clear? I see you're not so excited about it. What can you do? What else can I tell you? I don't know. You're not even asking any questions. But the work is above the transgression and judgment and trouble. All the work is in connecting against the forces of separation.
He says about Ibur in another place that he sees from the end of the world to its end.
It's not the Ibur, the conception, it's what he receives, what he reveals. Because he annuls himself, this is first of all, that he annuls himself completely. Later, it begins to feel a certain being in him that belongs to the annulment. There are certain desires in him that can be in annulment and impressed by the upper one, because the beginning of conception is when he annuls himself completely. Then beyond the annulment, there are those desires that can be in their annulment like an embryo. And in those same desires, he begins to feel from one end of the world to the other.
And this is already the development inside the womb.
Yes, of course. In the feeling of the upper one, in the revelation of the upper one, in other words, but it's inside the womb. The Creator, the upper one, is felt in him as a womb. A place where he finds himself in the upper world, but in a very certain way, limited on the one hand. On the other hand, he can feel the forces that are at work there. He doesn't have the vessels. We think we see from one end of the world to the other. It's because he doesn't have any vessels. He can't limit anything. He can't receive, absorb anything. Just like that. This is the meaning of you see from one end of the world to the other. It's not that he understands or perceives, no.
How does he agree to this work and doesn't run away of the Evra and Dinim, the judgments and transgressions?
Vandinim, transgressions and judgment, is against his will to receive. To the extent he can see the help against, to that extent he can rise above it. Might be satisfied from being able to hold it down, to control it, to keep it inside and stand above it. The spiritual world is built on top of corporeality, on top of the will to receive. Restriction, screen, reflected light, and so on and so forth. We're only starting it.
So, this entire work has to be in consent, willingly.
With the consent of a person who is working against his will. Slowly.
I wanted to ask about the correction of the will to receive when we don't correct it, but we simply ascend. What happens with those desires that we don't correct, but that...
All the desires come to correction according to the order, and they awaken in us. We don't know if it's going to be these desires or others. We simply need to work with the desires that awaken in us and sort them out as more important, less important, as much as we need to work with them in order to reach connection, and then work with them. That's it. I'm not asking about all the desires and everything that's happening. I'm looking at what's ahead of me, what do I have to do exactly? And this philosophy of what's happening in general with the entire kli, I can't do it. It's like a baby who cannot think above what he's got in his mouth. Next.
Excerpt number 24, Rabash. What is a flood of water in the work? We must know that it is a lot of work before we attain the quality of Bina. That is, to be content with little, with his feeling and his mind, and be happy with his share, with what he has. That person can always be in wholeness, because he is happy with his share. But what can one do if he has not yet obtained this quality? And he sees that he cannot overcome his will to receive. At that time, he must pray to the Creator to help him so he can go in the work with his eyes shut and will not need anything, and will be able to do everything for the sake of the Creator, despite the resistance of the body to this. That is, he does not tell the Creator how he should help him. Rather, he must subjugate himself and annul before the Creator unconditionally. But since he cannot overcome his body, he asks the Creator to help him win the war against the inclination.
Seems to us that spirituality is slipping between our fingers. We can't hold on to it and work with it like with solid matter. Remember, we have a hammer or a screwdriver or a shovel, something material, clear, tangible. It's incorrect. Again, if there is a society, a group, which is a place of work, a place of reward, and there I see the results from my work, then I need to see results from my work inside the society. That's the first thing. I need to work where? Inside the society. That's the second thing. I need to know how to do and where, you know, for each and every effort I make, I wish to see a result from above. In reason, in above reason, I don't know, but I must reach a state where I do, and I feel a response. I do something, I feel a response. Not in the will to receive, in the will to bestow, it doesn't matter how, but we need to not see these things as convoluted, as up in the air somewhere, rather, as much as possible to bring them to the feeling, to the action. So we would not sit idly by, rather we should imagine to ourselves, depict to ourselves the system in each time in a clearer and clearer manner. And to see changes. Yes, Marek?
So where do I see the response after the effort, if not in the will to receive?
In the desire and the will of the society, to the extent the society becomes more, you know, tight, more connected, to the extent of their excitement, their inclination towards the goal, and so on and so forth. Where in the will to receive? The will to receive is inside. You build everything on top of it, opposite from it.
So, I invested in the friends according to Rabash's principles, love the friends and everything we study, and I see that it's realized in the friends, not in me. Where do I see the response?
You need to see the response, the reaction in the 10, in the society. The 10 is that surface area, it's the soul, it's that place where the Creator is revealed.
Is it something you really see in your own eyes, or is it above reason, or?
With your eyes, I don't know with what glasses you see. You see it in the sense that you acquire. You acquire it through your exertion. But what am I trying to say? Once we started to talk about the center of the 10 and the 10, we should finally begin to work on it in a way that there is nothing else. That is the soul. We have to open up the 10 as our soul. We have to open it up as the place for the revelation of the Creator. Through it, we need to send whatever you want to the Creator through this to receive from the Creator that which He wants to pass to us. In short, the 10 is the device, it's the modem. I don't know how to say it. It's the radio we use to connect to the Creator. From us, this is the degree of bestowal of Binah that is above Malchut. From Him, we will see how He comes down from the degree of Keter to the degree of Bina. So that's the place. Okay? Yes?
To continue Marek's question, what does it mean to see a response from above to the actions I do in the 10?
I feel how much the environment becomes one body, comes closer, finds itself in different situations, states. The Creator is more active in it. I say it seriously. You need to feel in it the results of your state. Of course, each one flaws according to his own flaws.
So what is the X plus one of society all the time?
In adhering to it, in looking at it, in critically analyzing it, you can check your state. Later, you'll see that it is in the state of Ein Sof.
Okay, but how can you identify the changes that come from above as a result of our work? We're working in the tent. How, as a result of this, do we see the changes from above?
As much as you see them in an ideal form, all your friends as the upper nine, and you as Malchut and as a Rosh of the Patsuf, as much as you work with them in this way, that's how you arrange the situation.
Sergei from Moscow is asking, you said that the work in the tent begins with corporeal actions. Besides coming to the lesson, what other actions could there be?
Anything you can do to serve your ten in order to bring them closer to spiritual work. Yeah, arrange the place, take care of them in different ways, anything. This is work we have to do. Because specifically, thanks to this exertion, we invest greatly in the society. Specifically, when we don't feel it, we don't understand. But the corporeal investment in the society to prepare all the conditions for them to talk about, to take care of their spirituality, this is very helpful for a person. Let's continue.
Excerpt number 25, Rabash, what is the Torah and what is the statute of the Torah and the work? When he wants to do everything for the sake of the Creator and not for his own sake, here the body resists with all its might, since it argues, why do you want to put me and my domain to death? You come to me with having to work only for the sake of the Creator and not for one's own sake, which is truly annulment of the will to receive from everything. You tell me that our sages said the Torah exists only in one who puts himself to death over it, meaning to put to death all the domain of the self-benefit and care only for the benefit of the Creator. And before this, a person is unable to be rewarded with the Torah. Yet a person sees that it is unrealistic that he will have the strength to go against nature. At that time, one has no choice but to turn to the Creator and says, now I have come to a state where I see that unless you help me, I'm lost. I will never have the strength to overcome the will to receive, as this is my nature. Rather, only the Creator can give another nature.
No,
this is clear to us. We go through such states, maybe not as exactly as Rabash is painting for us here, but of course only out of the despair of one's own strength, a person can come to a state where he breaks out in prayer. But in what is he despaired of his strength? What does it mean that he's despaired? What does it mean that he comes to a prayer, to the eruption of the requests? What exactly is he asking for? All those things take many years for a person to arrange inside of him. Although it's so easy to talk about it, you have to be despaired of your own strength in order to turn to the Creator. And to turn to the Creator is something you need to do with a true request. What is true? To be with the forces of bestowal. So you need to try and have a subject for your prayer, meaning you're in a 10 and you're despaired from the fact that you cannot connect with them and you cannot come to a state where you are as the Shekhinah, a vessel for the revelation of the Creator. And then from the 10, together with the 10, you begin to turn to the Creator. Man has to rise. In order to reach it, so much time and effort is required. Okay?
מלכות זה מבנה שמתייצב בעשירייה כבר?
Is Malchut what established in the 10? Rav, the Creator doesn't hear, if you can say it like that. He hears everything, even if you when you yell something. Everything is written, recorded. You're in a system. You can't want anything unless you're awakened, and when you awaken, it doesn't matter how, it's all written, recorded in the system. But we're talking about sort of this advancement, intentional advancement, beneficial for the correction of the soul. So the Creator doesn't hear anything less than a 10. If you're not organizing a minyan, a quorum of 10, then you're out of the question. You should not even pray. And Malchut is a 10. It's something that's arranged first. Rav, so this means that it exists. Otherwise, it doesn't exist. And how does the work continue from here? After it was arranged that the Malchut is a 10. Rav, it reveals that deficiency and begins to work with the Creator, because it's already a being. It's an existence. There's something. There are 10 connected in one desire towards one goal.
Can I say something about... can you explain the rest?
Me? No. When we get an answer, we'll continue.
These excerpts are very absolute, exalted in terms of the degree that we have to reach.
Yeah, but they're quite clear.
Because they're so clear and so sharp, there is kind of a gap between us and them, between their relevance to our current state. How do we bridge that gap?
You're in a 10. You have to implement it with the 10. Realize it. Talk about it. I agree that this is what's before you. How do we realize what's written? Of course, nobody wants it. The whole work is against the desire. If I will wait until I want it, it will never happen. Never. So a person has to reach a certain breaking point, that there's no choice. Selling myself. That's it. There has to be a total surrender. I'm accepting these conditions. I'm not waiting for them to change to suit my desire. This will never happen. I might reach this state in 20, 30 years before I finally see that there is no other choice and you have to do it differently. So the 10 has to talk about how we are in a trap. We cannot leave this prison, this world, only on the condition, well, either you die and you come back in another life and more, but you're not going to get anything good. It's never going to get better. All the coming incarnations will be worse. It's best for me to realize the correction now.
What does it mean to sell yourself?
I'm willing to work towards connection with the Ten in order to reach contact with the Creator.
I suppose that most of the people here are willing or think that they're willing or want to be willing.
They think about it, but are they doing, after these words, are they doing anything in order to advance this statement?
And where do we see the realization? How can we examine that?
They can feel the realization in their hearts. How much are they truly desiring to reach connection, desiring to revoke the walls of their hearts, to be integrated in one desire, truly? Until we can, it's possible to show the Creator we have one desire, one heart. Well, there's one man in one heart. This, in practice, is the action you should make. Of course, before that, there are many other states.
Excerpt number 26, Rabash, letter 65. A person must decide that he wants the Creator to give him a desire to completely annul before him, meaning not leave any desire under his own authority, but that all the desires in him will be only to give glory to the Creator. Once he decides on complete annulment, he asks the Creator to help him execute it. This means that, although in the mind and the desire he sees that the body disagrees with him, annulling all his desires before the Creator, instead of for his own sake, he should pray to the Creator to help him want to annul before him with all the desires, leaving no desire for himself. This is called a complete prayer, meaning that he wishes that the Creator will give him a complete desire without any compromises to himself. And he asks of the Creator to help him always be with his righteousness.
Questions? We'll hear it again.
A person must decide that he wants the Creator to give him a desire to completely annul before him, meaning not leave any desire under his own authority, but that all the desires in him will be only to give glory to the Creator. Once he decides on complete annulment, he asks the Creator to help him execute it. This means that, although in the mind and the desire he sees that the body disagrees with him, annulling all his desires before the Creator instead of for his own sake, he should pray to the Creator to help him want to annul before him with all the desires, leaving no desire for himself. This is called a complete prayer, meaning that he wishes that the Creator will give him a complete desire without any compromises to himself, and he asks of the Creator to help him always be with his righteousness.
Everything is fine. That's how it is.
I feel a real need to meet with Rabash.
I have no problem, he is available. I'm saying it seriously, what's the problem? No problem, whoever you want to talk to, you go ahead. Each and every individual, there's no problem, it's all... How is it with Rabbi Yossi that wanted to see Rabbi Shimon? They told him no. Rabbi Chia. Said, you cannot. So he fasted another 40 days. No, another 40 days. Then he started to see Rabbi Shimon. Go ahead. No problem. Zohar gave you an advice. Meaning to reach the degree of Bina, the correct, organized manner from Malchut to Bina, 40 days, then you're already included in something. Maybe it's not enough, but another 40 days.
It's just that it's impossible not to fall in love with Rabash. The style that he writes in, the way in which he presents or passes the method on to you. I don't mean, you know, corporeally meet him, but...
I'm happy that you have such a feeling because... He was truly a special person. He is a special person. If we only had Baal HaSulam, it seems to me that we wouldn't have had any way of grasping him, of starting to feel him, to make him tangible. Rabash gives the external layer that allows us. Otherwise, Baal HaSulam is so... high and exalted. With all his writing, which is very moving, nevertheless, is very high.
Excerpt number 27, Shamati 19, Baal HaSulam. The importance of the work is precisely when one comes to a state of zero. When one sees that he annuls his whole existence and being, for then the will to receive has no power. Only then does one enter the Kedusha.
So how to reach a zero, in short. Society has to help. Society has to help. It helps, even just by existing, because when a person wants to reach the next degree in spirituality, he needs to reach zero in the current degree, and then he ascends. Again,
Baal HaSulam, Shamati 19, Excerpt 27. The importance of the work is precisely when one comes to a state of zero. When one sees that he annuls his whole existence and being, for then the will to receive has no power. Only then does one enter the Kedusha.
Okay, through the point of zero, when he makes himself small from the egoistic height all the way down, then through that, through, as we say, the center of the ten, because who is he, relative to what is he making himself small, right? There has to be a scrutiny, a certain measurement. Yes, Gilad?
We're saying to enlarge the ten, to enlarge the desire to annul before the ten. So, this is, I understand, but what does it mean to diminish yourself? Or is the saying that once the ten is important enough, the self is no longer that important?
There is a difference, either to lower himself or to raise the ten. These are two completely different types of work. The fact that I'm making the ten greater, it's something outside of me. And when I'm making myself smaller, I'm making my egoistic qualities smaller. Not the qualities themselves, but when they are connected to in order to receive. That's what I need to make small, to disqualify from use.
But why rule them out? It's against the ten, I mean. Why rule them out?
Because I cannot use anything that is in order to receive. I didn't understand.
What is... How can I know that I can't use anything which is the will to receive?
The will to receive in its current form without the intention to bestow, meaning he has an intention for himself in order to receive for himself. In this way, no, it removes me from the Creator, distances me from the Creator.
Yeah, it moves me away from the ten, first and foremost.
Yeah, from the ten, but talking about why am I doing this in the first place. The whole ten exists, so I will reach adhesion with the Creator. So how can I continue to work with Him?
So that's the question. If it's a result of increasing the ten and the Creator in it, that's one thing. I understand. But if these are two different kinds of work, so what is the work of...
When I see my intentions to receive as truly lowly intentions, I don't have to say that in order to receive is destructive, it's a theft, it's something that I don't want to agree with it. So my intentions by themselves are bad. I can't say that I'm working only on the greatness of the society. I need to see these desires with myself, within myself, that they have the intention to receive. And I can't do anything with those desires, but the intentions to receive, I need to see them disappearing. And it's not only when I'm working on the greatness of the Creator, I understand that this is a good, correct inclination, but I also have to see inside those intentions to receive that I'm actually shrinking them.
But this is a result. This is the result where you see that the will to receive, this is the harmful, the bad thing.
Right. Our work, for the most part, is to grow the will to bestow. That's correct.
Right, especially when there is something else. This is what I'm asking.
No, I can't. Nevertheless, I need to constantly check and see that my sin will be before me, that all these desires with the intention to receive will be clear to me, will be clearly felt in me, and I will want to rise above them, and by that, they disappear. If I stop using them, then they die.
So this is an even greater desire to make the ten greater, because these are desires that I can't work with.
You have to nevertheless see them as well. I can't leave them, simply leave them and then work on bestowal.
Again, to say this clear, this is the result of making society and the ten with the creator in it and so on greater. But to be engaged, what is it?
You can't engage with them directly. There's no way. If you don't try to take care of them specifically, then you won't have a reason to turn to the Creator. You want to leave all your intentions to receive and take care of only the intention to bestow, the way you can incorporate in the society, but you won't have any reason to turn to the society unless you see that these intentions are, you know, in order to receive that you have. I understand you. We'll see it.
Excerpt 28. Rabash, the upper one, scrutinizes for the purpose of the lower one. The lower one is powerless to begin the work, but only in the form of lolishma, called will to receive. For only the lolishma gives the first moving force of the lower one. For when a person does not find sufficient flavor in corporeal pleasures, he begins to search for spiritual pleasures. It follows that the root of the work of the lower one is the will to receive, and the prayer called man rises up, and then the upper one corrects this man and places on it the power of the masach, which is a desire to delay the abundance before the lower one, knows about himself that his aim is to bestow. That is, the upper one bestows upon the lower one good taste and pleasure in the desire to bestow, by which the lower one feels his exaltedness. At that time, he begins to understand that it is worthwhile to annul before him and cancel his existence before him. Then he feels that all that there is in reality is only because such is his will, that the Creator wants the lower one to exist, but for himself. He wants to annul his existence. It follows that then all the vitality he feels is regarded as lishma and not for himself. When he feels this, it is considered that he already has the correction of the man, and then he is also fit to receive the mud as well, for there is no contradiction between them anymore. Since the lower one, too, wants the benefit of the upper one and not his own benefit, it is considered that when the upper one gives the lower one mochin, he also gives him the clothing of the mochin, meaning that he gives the lower one the abundance as well as the power of the masach, which is the desire to bestow. This is the meaning of from lo lishma we come to lishma.
Question? We should read it again.
Again, excerpt number 28. Rabash, the upper one, scrutinizes for the purpose of the lower one. The lower one is powerless to begin the work, but only in the form of lo lishma, called the will to receive. For only the lolishma gives the first moving force of the lower one. For when a person does not find sufficient flavor in corporeal pleasures, he begins to search for the spiritual pleasures. It follows that the root of the work of the lower one is the will to receive. And the prayer called man rises up, and then the upper one corrects this man and places on it the power of the masach, which is a desire to delay the abundance before the lower one knows about himself that his aim is to bestow. That is, the upper one bestows upon the lower one good taste and pleasure in the desire to bestow, by which the lower one feels his exaltedness. At that time, he begins to understand that it is worthwhile to annul before him and cancel his existence before him. Then he feels that all that there is in reality is only because such is his will, that the Creator wants the lower one to exist, but for himself, he wants to annul his existence. It follows that, then, all the vitality he feels is regarded as a lishma, and not for himself. When he feels this, it is considered that he already has the correction of the man, and then he is also fit to receive the mad as well, for there is no contradiction between them anymore. Since the lower one, too, wants the benefit of the upper one and not his own benefit, it is considered that when the upper one gives the lower one mochin, he also gives him the clothing of the mochin. Meaning that he gives the lower one the abundance as well as the power of the masach, which is the desire to bestow. This is the meaning of from lo lishma, we come to lishma.
That's a strong twist.
What I don't understand, Rav, is that he says that he gives them
mochen and the clothing.
Right. And he gives the abundance to the lower and also the force of the masach. And before that, he says that the force of the masach is the desire to delay the plenty, the abundance. So how do these things go together?
Yeah, and then the desire to detain the abundance becomes the vessel for receiving the abundance. The screen rejects it. We exist in the desire, in the thought, more correctly, in the thought of creation, the thought of the Creator. And as much as our thoughts, meaning our inclinations, our desires, our intentions are according to his thought, then similarly we can discover where we are.
Excerpt number 29, Rabash, entry into the work. Only after he achieves this degree called Lolishma, he is rewarded with other phenomena. When he comes to a higher state, that is, at that time, he has no consideration of himself, and all his calculations and thoughts are the truth. In other words, his aim is only to annul himself before the true reality, where he feels that he must only serve the king, because he feels the exaltedness and greatness and importance of the king. At that time, he forgets, meaning he has no need to worry about himself, as his own self is annulled as a candle before a torch, before the existence of the Creator that he feels. Then he is in a state of lishma, for her sake, meaning contentment to the Creator, and his concerns and yearnings are only about how he can delight the Creator, while his own existence, meaning the will to receive, does not merit a name whatsoever. Then he is regarded as bestowing in order to bestow.
Yom Rishon Dikaon.
Sunday depression.
Tov, Tikra Acharon, 31.
Read the last one, 31.
31.
Keta Mispa, 31. 31.
Excerpt number 31. And purify me in your mercy to pray in devotion, and I will be able to annul my entire self and not pray for my own benefit at all, but will only merit to completely be annulled in the prayer, as if I do not exist in the world at all, and my entire intention in this prayer will be only for your sake, to raise the Shekhinah from exile, to reveal your godliness in the world.
What are we studying? Pticha or giving the Torah, Matan Torah? Who's for Pticha? Who's for Matan Torah? I think Pticha.